Wouldn't it be great if three idiots picked apart each episode of your favorite podcast?
We do that. Wouldn't it be great if we discussed the newest episode, ongoing theories, and predictions for what comes next?
We do that. Wouldn't it be great if they didn't ruin the podcast at all and kept everything spoiler-free?
We don't do that. You've been warned.
Welcome to We Do That, a Taz fan cast. I'm your co-host, Chris.
And I'm your co-host, Jake. I didn't think of a joke this week.
And I'm your other co-host, Colin.
This week's episode, The Adventure Zone Zone. But this one, like the one that happened after the mini arcs, not some of the other ones that came before.
Does that make our discussion the Adventure Zone Zone Zone?
Yes. 100.
Cool.
I think it kind of just makes it We Do That a Taz fan cast, because it's like it's the same amount of meta. We just don't call it the Amnesty Zone or the, you know, it's fine.
I feel like the Amnesty Zone could get confusing with when we do, you know, our hashtags.
When you will give them no amnesty for the choices they're about to make.
Ooh, that's a good. That's good. All right, quick synopsis for you guys. They just talked about shit.
Yeah, they're getting all up on our spot this week.
You all listen to the episode. You know what happened.
I mean, I'm not going to try and recap their answers. Like,
it's a lot of work.
There was no plot.
Let's start with Chris, because I think, dear listeners, you can already guess by now that Colin is unhappy. So we'll start on a good note. And then Chris and I will try to contain Colin.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I have good or bad feelings about the Adventure Zone Zone in terms of that what they discussed on that episode. I did appreciate that they addressed a couple things that we have talked about, like when they decided to do Amnesty, who kind of led the decision-making process. You know, learning that Justin really pushed to go back to Amnesty was interesting for me to hear. I appreciate that they did talk about some of the questions we had about music, that Travis doesn't have the time nor the inclination nor apparently the skill to really do original compositions, and their recording schedule prevented Griffin from doing that. I think they sort of answered a lot of the things we were putting out into the world, so glad we have fellow like-minded Taz fans who took the time to write it in rather than just talk about it on the air to other people who write about it, about it.
You know, I don't think their responses sort of changed our critiques, but I do feel like we have a lot more context now. You know, and it makes all of these decisions make a little bit more sense. Whereas we were sort of just in the dark previously. You know, and so I liked hearing them just get to, like, debrief and talk about how much they enjoy doing it together. That was kind of nice.
Yeah, so I had two notes, really, on the episode. The first is Travis discussed how difficult it is to run, like, a mystery game, which I totally get and totally agree. And that was one thing, I don't know if I ever voiced it on the podcast, that was one thing I kind of had reservations of with Dust, is I think it's so difficult to run a mystery RPG. Just because of the nature of mysteries, right? You have to know something that you have to, you know, put together this giant web of things that's already figured out and then see how your players unravel it. And so I love the world of Dust. I can't wait to revisit, but I can see how that would be, you know, very difficult to do for a long form season. The one other note I had was about the question Griffin got about whether or not there would be, moments like Arms Outstretched or Geralt in Amnesty. And now I didn't write the question. I'm not critiquing who wrote the question. But the way I heard it and the way I understood it, the question was not, you know, will you guys follow the rules, which is the question Griffin answered. I think the question was really more, does this rule set have that kind of fun stuff in it? Even though, you know, they did have to break D&D rules to do it, but the bare bones are already there that they could ad lib on. And I think the bigger question there, and maybe this wasn't directly addressed to the question, but will the players actually have the agency to be able to do stuff like that? And that's one thing they
did. Yeah, I think it's tricky because when, because while the D&D rule set sort of, it bound both the DM's and the player character's hands equally, that you, while you can spin to a certain extent the effect of a spell or something like that, like, it does have a description of what happens when you cast that spell. And so you have, you can only go off of from that so far. Whereas in the system of Monster of the Week, where they're sort of rolling with just mixed success, full success, you know, failure, that there is so much room for Griffin. And I'm going to try not to harp on Griffin, because I realize that we do it a lot. And in listening to this episode, I really kind of felt for him. Like, there's a lot of piling on that happens, and it needs to be tempered quite a bit with true appreciation for the things that create it and the hard work that is truly going into it, even if we don't agree stylistically. But I think the lack of a formal sort of written out effect thereby takes some of the, like you were saying, Colin, takes the agency away from the player to say, like, I want this to happen. You figure out what it does to things. It's just, you know, if they can get into it with sort of the narrative that they want to do, where the player characters are just talking and they're laying out, like, I am going to go and I'm going to, you know, drop beacon into this rock and then pole vault over it and into the air. And really, I think it's going to require the player characters to very much more than before clearly lay out what actions they are trying to take, so that when Griffin is giving them the results of that based on their role, his hands are more tied by the narrative they've laid out already. He can't just rewrite actions they've already put out into the world.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that, and I think that's a great point. And I wish that is something that they had gotten to play around with in the mini arc, because that's not something that ever really came up.
And I think it's tricky. The one thing I took away from this was that we had often postulated on whether or not they were testing out a rule set or testing out a story, and it became very clear in this episode that they were not testing anything. They were telling a story to see which one they liked best, and then we're going to sort of figure it out on the back end. And I think they really needed to be focusing on a rule set that they could apply to whatever stories they wanted to tell.
Right. Agreed. And that, it actually leaves me a little concerned, because, you know, one of the cool things about balance is the audience, the DM, and the players, for at least the first half, were kind of figuring out the story together, right? Like, Griffin didn't have the idea of the bigger picture until at least, you know, the end of the Pedals to the Metal or the 11th Hour arc. Like, he was still trying to put it together. And the things the players did in the earlier arcs affected what happened in the later arcs. And that's what leads me to be a little bit concerned with season two, is that he already has a story. And so will the decisions that the characters make in episode 6 or 7 coming up, will they have the same sort of long-lasting effect? Is that there, or is there already a story that, you know, he already knows the beginning, middle, and end?
I think that's a really interesting question, sort of about the nature of the story. And it's not something that I'm necessarily quite as concerned about, because I think that Griffin having this story in place and the experience he gained working through balance probably means that he can find a way to integrate those choices into the story and make them meaningful. And being able to do that from day one, or day episode six, whatever, actually gives those choices a lot more room to run and play. You know, he's really sort of cultivating the skill as a storyteller. And I think that that's how it's going to come out.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. And I guess, you know, one of the things I loved about Balance was that it wasn't Griffin's story, right? Like, it was his story and he was the DM, but it felt like a shared story. And so I just, and that's, I want to be completely, you know, open to having that experience again with Amnesty, but that's where something that I don't get the sense will exist again, for better or worse. You know, it might be much more put together than the first several arcs of, I'm sure it will be, than the first several arcs of Balance were, when they didn't really know what they were doing. But, you know, I don't know. I just don't know about having the whole thing mapped out from here.
I think there are two things that, even if Griffin has going to have a pretty strong commitment to telling the story he wants to tell, there are two things that sort of heartened me that the guys were saying. One was Travis and Justin, and I think, based on my impressions, to a lesser extent, Clint seemed to have a pretty strong commitment to trying to keep the same balance of storytelling to goofs, to like keeping the engagement not just the one-sided DM storytelling. It seemed like they either, not necessarily shared, but heard some of the concerns of fans and sort of knew that the heart of the Adventure Zone as it stands now, and why a lot of people love it, stands outside of just good storytelling, and it's the process by which they go through all those things. I also think that a weakness of the mini arc was that the exposition that we, for lack of a better word, we had to be dragged through for the first three episodes of Dust, were exposition for the sake of the story Griffin was telling. And I think there are opportunities that exist in the longer form Dust, Amnesty. To flesh out the player characters' backgrounds. And I think when they inevitably dive into those backgrounds, Clint and Justin and Travis have worked up a lot of story that will go with it that Griffin is just going to have to integrate, and that will take some of that storytelling power out of his hands and back into the player characters, and should give a nice balance in terms of things. I think they know enough about the characters, and I think they're unwilling to compromise on some of the backstory elements that Griffin's going to have to do with it as it stands. He's not going to be able to sort of force them into a backstory to fit his narrative.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense, and I'm sort of anxious to see how it plays out. Just, you know, I'm obviously still going to listen. Because even if it is just Griffin's story, he's a pretty good storyteller. Here's another question for you guys.
It's going to be a very surly set of podcasts for 3 months.
A very what?
Surly set of podcasts for the next, you know, 6 months to a year.
Yep. Speaking of, we're going to follow the Adventure Zone schedule and drop two biweekly podcasts. Recording things. Wow, that was very well said.
Y'all are just batting 1,000 on this whole language thing.
I'm just super excited for Anthem to happen. I think it's going to be a great new season 2.
What did you guys think of the idea that they might revisit Dust in the off weeks?
I think that's interesting. I just don't know how maintainable that is going to be.
My initial reaction is it's a bad idea.
Agreed. I hope they do not do it.
Reasons that I'm really excited for Amnesty, and that they seem really excited for it, is that it gives us the opportunity to sink our teeth into something again, to really explore and get to know an environment. And I think sort of bouncing that, bouncing back and forth between, you know, these worlds every other week muddies that some.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, I don't think just narratively going from one world to the other week to week, like, I want to revisit Dust, but if you're going to do that, like, get to the end of a small arc within Amnesty, cut it off for a month, and then do Dust, and then come back to it, or something else.
Yeah, what I think my preference would be to have a Dust mini arc take the place of Lunar Interludes in Balance. I assume there's going to be, you know, Lodge Interludes or whatever it would be, but I think that kind of pacing where Griffin tells a story, you know, tells a part of an arc of, I'm assuming he's going to have the same structure. It might just be one long story that he's going to tell, but it seemed like it kind of fit in to have little chunks of campaign as they went through it to sort of then reset and move along for their own sakes. But I think you guys are totally right. If we had to jump back and forth and weekly between two different worlds, I don't think they're going to be telling the compelling story they want to, and I think it's going to hurt any narrative rhythm to the Amnesty storyline. And I imagine that Griffin has probably come to that revelation and that the other people might come around to it, that it's just not going to work and they need to sort of stand on their own in their own little sections of this is Dust time, this is Amnesty time, and one is a break for the other very purposefully, not just we want to keep content coming out. I would be excited to have stuff coming weekly just because I love having stuff to listen to on Thursdays. It's exciting to get another taste of Taz in whatever form it comes, but for preserving a narrative story, I think it's so much better to just stick with Amnesty and then fit Dust into a different kind of downtime.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. I think if they were to try it, they would very quickly find it's sort of, they would be unsustainable is the word I was looking for. But this means we will also be dropping to every other week. So how do you guys feel about that?
I mean,
what did Colin say? I lost it.
What are your feelings about us going weekly, bi-weekly?
I mean, I think we follow the content. You know, I know we had briefly sort of kicked around the idea of doing balanced stuff in the off weeks, but that just doesn't feel natural anymore. So I think, you know, we will be here to pull apart and analyze when there's stuff to analyze.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's still going to be the same timeline for us. We'll do it, you know, we do that, comes out every Monday after the Adventure Zone. We'll have a weekend to stew on it, get our thoughts together, and put out some good radio.
Well, radio.
we had talked about for a while there, listeners, that we might try to do, when they go bi-weekly, that we might try to revisit Balance. Because Balance is an arc and a campaign we very much want to talk about, but I don't know, guys. This is a little sort of back, you know, housekeeping work while we're live on the air. I don't think We Do That is going to be the podcast where we talk about Balance. It just doesn't quite feel right for where we're going.
No, nope, I agree completely.
I think I totally still want to revisit Balance in some way, shape, or form, but I agree. It's sort of like revisiting Dust in the middle of Amnesty. You just can't bounce back and forth. It'd be impossible to follow.
Yeah, for all the reasons we think it's bad for the McElroys, we should probably acknowledge that it's bad for us.
Yep. So if y'all have any thoughts about, you know, whether you would like to hear us go back and talk about Balance or how we can do that, please let us know.
And that may be, you know, a separate podcast feed. So if nothing else, you can listen in chronological order and not get totally confused. Keep it in two different podcatchers.
Yeah, agreed. And I really just want another excuse to re-listen to the Balance arc.
Do you really need an excuse?
No, but I've listened to it through like four times.
Yeah.
I've listened to it a lot.
At some point, you do have to acknowledge there's new media out there that should be consumed.
Look, man, I'm still on West Wing and 30 Rock rewatches, so I don't know what all this new media is, but I don't like it.
Yeah. Colin is very habit-driven.
I know what I like.
Well, one of the other things that I wanted to, you know, and I think we talked about it a bit earlier, is I think by nature of doing this podcast, it's easier to be critical about The Adventure Zone. Because a podcast where we say, this was great, and yes, I agree, and yep, that worked too, wouldn't be, you know, A, very long, or B, I think very interesting. And so, well, what I think Chris was sort of talking about earlier was it was nice to sort of get a step back from content and hear from the McElroys again, because I want to be able to keep that at sort of the forefront as I'm listening to these coming episodes, to be like, okay, you know, this is a thing you really enjoy, so let yourself enjoy it. And I think trying to refine that balance, no pun intended, is going to be what I'm trying to do over the next couple episodes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point, especially it was interesting the sort of the switch between how you listen to it, right? Between when you're talking about it or you're just listening to listen. And so I totally agree, and I don't know if the answer is listening to it twice, the first time just to take it all in, second time to take it in critically, and I don't mean that negatively critically, but like, and thinking about what it is as a podcast. But I do think it's an interesting question and an interesting dilemma, so where to draw that line between being a fan and being somebody who talks about it on a podcast.
Yeah.
All right, well, I don't have anything else. I don't know about you guys.
Great. Just a nervous excitement for season two. I think I'm mostly excited for long form to come back to really get into a storyline, and nervous about all the things we've talked about for the last 20 minutes about structure and narrative. But I think it's going to be really good, and I'm excited to see. I feel like they've gained so much knowledge, and they've really honed the craft of what they're doing to such a fine degree that it's going to be really cool to see them dive into a storyline with all of the experience of balance behind them and create a world that's going to be, and I say this sort of surprised that I'm going to say it, like, richer and even more in-depth and engaging than some of the balance worlds. And I think that's going to be really neat to be a part of, to be, you know, as much as we are consumers of it, I think we are part of the fabric of Taz out there in the metaverse. And it's going to be really great. It's going to be a good ride.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I'm really intrigued by the worlds that Griffin has set up for us. And like you're saying, I'm excited to get back into the Adventure Zone with a rhythm.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's, you know, that's what I'm most excited about.
And I,
and worse comes to worse, we jump ship and complain about Austin Walker and Friends at the Table for our next 100 episodes.
Woof. I don't know. I am excited to get back to long form, because I can just imagine the theories we'll come up with for the Zone of Postulation. Oh boy, I think we're gonna get a whole
that
lot
is true.
Wrong.
Like that will get interesting.
Because I did not know who the Red Robes are going into all throughout Balance. Anyway, thank you everybody for listening to We Do That. Next week, we'll be discussing the first proper episode of Season 2, Amnesty.
In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at WeDoThat_pod and tweet at us using the AtazFanCast hashtag. Or you can email us at WeDoThatPod@gmail.com. Send us your reactions, thoughts, and theories.
So we can shamelessly steal them.
Special thanks to The Early for our intro and outro music.
New episodes of We Do That come out every Monday after the Adventure Zone.
If you enjoy listening to We Do That, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and share this with your friends that you think would enjoy listening to us.
Bye, everybody.